CRJ 230, this is your week four podcast. That's right, week four. We are at the end of this week, 1/4 of the way to the semester. Double this and we're at spring break. And as you've probably heard, if you've had me for criminal law or other classes, after you hit the midway point of the semester, it's all downhill. If you haven't heard, a lot of classes at Illinois Central College in the future, our legal studies courses, as an example, will be 8-week classes beginning in the fall. And pretty much the idea, I guess, according to the Board of Trustees, is to push most everything to 8 weeks by the fall of 2025. So I guess it's going to go even faster. In any event, I won't give the full commercial that I gave to CRJ 225, to criminal law, and many of you have had that commercial if you've had me for criminal law in the fall or before. And it's concerning the summer course of CRJ 227, Administration of Justice, where we cover stop, frisk, arrest, use of force, and use of deadly force, an array of the different things that get people in trouble. And people, I'm talking about certified law enforcement primarily, and sometimes cost someone their lives, if not a lot of inconvenience and possibly bodily harm. And you probably heard me mention that, you know, it's a course that I take seriously. It's something that if you're going into one of those fields, if you're going into law enforcement, probation, or corrections especially, it's the law you need to know to be able to do your job, both to keep other people safe and to keep yourself safe. And I won't get too deep into it, but you know, it's a course that I recently covered for working police officers, because if you know the law from the first moment that as a police officer you interact with someone, until you do have to take them into custody, if you do have to take them into custody, and you know that's with handcuffs, take them into custody, if you know the law, you will go ahead and enact that law or enforce that law safely and effectively, and both you and they will leave the circumstance. So that's all I'll say on that. Consider that course. It's an 8-week summer course, all online. It's probably one of the most interesting cases or courses because it goes through all of those Supreme Court cases that we know as the landmark cases and everything we do in criminal procedure. So let's talk about our topic for this week, competency of witnesses. All the evidence in a criminal trial arrives through testimony of witnesses who either directly testify. One second. Apologies. I have an office set up at home because the college doesn't provide me with the equipment or functionality to create these. So, and I have a coworker at home. Yaddy, eh? Yaddy. A pup that I'm training possibly to do some search and rescue assistance. And he wanted out of the office. Anyway, let me get back to all evidence in a criminal trial arrives through testimony. And you have to realize that. Either directly by something that someone witnessed, they saw, or by historical facts, or through testimony that identifies, authenticates physical evidence as an example, or allows physical evidence to be introduced to the trier of fact at trial. Consequently, the majority of evidence available in any case is going to result from the oral testimony of witnesses. And before a witness may testify, he or she has to be qualified in accordance with the evidentiary rules passed by the legislature or dictated over time by the courts. Even when a witness has been determined qualified to testify, the process of introducing this testimony may appear to be very technical, and often it's confusing because additional rules apply to regulate the actual content of what they may testify about beyond whether they are credible or able to be a person who gives testimony. You go back to our discussion of last week on relevance and materiality. Flows right to this. If you don't have something to testify about that is relevant and material to the case, then you shouldn't be testifying. And hopefully that makes sense. The most interesting points in any sequence of testimony come through impeachment. Impeachment is that dun-dun-dun thing on Law and Order, right? It's that big gotcha moment. It's not as much about when the witness is telling their story of whatever it is that they were involved in the case for. It's when the other lawyer comes at them to paint them in a corner with yes or no questions and get them. Impeach. So you have to prepare for impeachment, because if you're not prepared for or protected against impeachment, it's going to be detrimental to one party in the case. If you have a decent character, okay, you do your job diligently, you know, you don't have any gray area in your personal or public life, you're not doing things that are considered screw-ups in your profession, you're considered to be credible, diligent, competent, there should be very few reasons to fear impeachment during your career. That doesn't say that the facts of the case, the circumstances of the case you're involved in, and the things that you were doing in the case, just by the nature of those things, isn't going to cause you to be impeached, to have your testimony attacked while you're on the witness stand. But the facts are what they are in any given case, and a defense attorney attacking your testimony about the facts, it's accepted. It's just a natural consequence of the criminal law or any other trial, civil as well. For those of you who had civil litigation, you know this to be true. But if you've kept good records, if you draft complete reports, if you have those reports available at the time you testify, and many of you will have the benefit of being able to refresh your recollection from reviewing your report, and if you've actually done that, because let me tell you, I've taken the testimony as the hearing officer of a lot of police officers, a lot of my graduates. I won't say a lot, but too many. Who didn't do that? Who didn't use the reports that they had available prior to the testimony to review, to prepare, to refresh, to, you know, be able to testify competently? One of the biggest pitfalls for any witness is either speaking about something for which they are unsure of or unprepared to testify or attempting to testify about, or talking about things that aren't covered or backed up in your report if you have a report. Sometimes it's okay to just say, I don't know, or I can't recall. Is there anything that would help you refresh your recollection? Yes, my police report would have that information on it. And you'll be able to use that report to refresh your memory. The problems that really plague or embarrass a witness occur when they are caught providing inconsistent testimony or outright untruths, or when an element of their past comes up to cause examination of their character. These are character and reputation-based professions. As your character and reputation goes, so will your career. so will your opportunities for advancement, so will your overall job satisfaction. So, pay attention to the topics this week, the cases that are presented this week. And when you do, think of it in light of yourself. What are you going to do to be competent? How are you going to know if somebody else is competent? It's week four, 1/4 of the way through the semester. I appreciate your efforts these first 4 weeks. I hope you're getting out of this course what is intended. I hope it's obvious how important it'll be, not necessarily for this semester or your grade, but for where you intend to go in the law, civil, criminal, business, family law, whatever. It's going to play a part. Stay well, and if you need me, you know where to find me.